Hello, everyone. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Terrific Tuesday to you. Or if you'd like a challenge, how about Tongue Twister Tuesday? Like saying red leather, yellow leather, 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 five times really fast. Or how about toy boat? That seems easy enough, right? Good luck. All right. Let's fuel up on some knowledge and information and get our minds right so we can shine bright. We start today in Poland, where this week marks the solemn 80th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp. Auschwitz's remaining survivors were invited to attend the commemorations that honored their experiences at the deadliest Nazi concentration camp during World War II. Survivors spoke during the event and led prayers and tributes to the victims of the camp. Polish President Andrzej Duda and Auschwitz Museum Director Piotr Siwiński walked with survivors, candles in hand, to the camp's wall of death, where executions took place. World leaders also commemorated the anniversary, including German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and President Frank-Walter Steinmeier. French President Emmanuel Macron participated from the Shoah Holocaust Memorial in Paris. Later that day, Britain's King Charles paid tribute to the victims by laying a wreath at the wall of death, while royalty from Norway, Spain, and Denmark also visited the site. Approximately 1.1 million people were murdered at the concentration camp between 1940 and 1945. Most of those killed were Jewish, but other victims of Germany's Third Reich included Polish people resisting German occupation, the Roma, and Soviet prisoners of war. At the time the camp was liberated, 7,000 people who were very ill or close to death were freed from Nazi imprisonment. The day's ceremonies focused on the survivors present rather than visiting dignitaries, as the youngest of them are currently in their 80s. A survivor advocacy group, the Claims Conference, estimates around 1,000 of those survivors are still alive today. In 2005, the United Nations declared the date of the liberation of Auschwitz, January 27th, as International Holocaust Memorial Day. The annual day or remembrance honors the 6 million Jews killed during World War II by the Germans, who killed two-thirds of Europe's Jews and one-third of all Jews worldwide. Our Isa Suarez brings us the story of one Auschwitz survivor's personal journey to honor the history of the camp and share it with generations to come.
What I'm about to tell you now, I had absolutely no knowledge of myself.
For the last 13 years, Jackie Young has been taking teenagers beyond the history books.
The war had been on already over two years.
Educating them about the Holocaust by retelling his harrowing story as a baby sent to a Nazi concentration camp.
How and why I survived 2 years, 8 months as a 9-month-old baby, I still do not know.
It was 1945 when Jackie arrived in the UK on a British Royal Air Force plane. His adoptive parents never told Jackie he was a Holocaust survivor, keeping his early life secret for years.
Any little piece of the puzzle of my past would be more than welcome.
It's a puzzle that he is yet to complete, but with each piece, a moment of clarity for 83-year-old Jackie.
What is something you haven't found out yet, but you would like to?
And an awakening of the minds for this younger generation.
How did the whole process change your identity and the way you see the world today?
It's what I call cathartic.
With each passing year, some fear this generation could be the last to hear from Holocaust survivors. Their testimonies consigned to footnotes in history books.
Given what we heard from Jackie and the lessons from history and what is playing out in the world right now, how does his story shape all of you who are the future?
It reminds us of the importance of teaching and educating younger generations to really combat prejudice and promote peace.
I agree, and that kind of story kind of leaves you wondering, what about the other children that had the same story? What happened with them? Do they know what happened? Do they not know?
Jackie says he has found peace, that the puzzle of his life may never be complete.
I resign myself to the fact that the pieces are smaller by the day.
The reception you get from the teenagers, many of them have studied it, but as I heard today, it's quite It's quite another story hearing it directly from someone who lived it and breathed it. What do you think they take away from it?
I'd like to think that they have opened their eyes a bit to what can happen with humanity. And it, I mean, we've got no other game in on this world.
Life lessons from a Holocaust survivor whose story of trauma and resilience will hopefully reverberate beyond the school walls.
10-second trivia. Which of the following historic sites is the most visited in the world? Forbidden City, Pyramids of Giza, Machu Picchu, or Taj Mahal? If you said Forbidden City, you are correct. It's in Beijing, China. It's the largest preserved royal palace complex in the world that was the seat of political power in China for more than 500 years. Every 2 years, an international nonprofit called the World Monuments Fund shares its watch list of 25 vulnerable historic sites facing major challenges like the effects of changes in climate, excess tourism, or conflict. And for the first time ever this year, the fund included an historic site not on planet Earth, but on the moon. The group says mankind's historic lunar sites are potentially at risk with the dawn of a new space age and a race to land on the moon again. Sites like the Tranquility Base, where humans first set foot on the moon. Astronaut Neil Armstrong's boot print is still there, along with more than 100 other artifacts from the Apollo 11 mission, like the camera used to televise the landing. Our Paulo Sandoval spoke to a space archaeologist to tell us what might be at stake. Listen.
There's two levels to this. First of all, we have the whole moon itself as a celestial body. And people are often quite shocked when I tell them that there are plans to mine the moon to extract its resources. So we have to think about the natural values of the moon. But humans have been sending spacecraft to the moon now for over 60 years. And as you mentioned, we have places like Tranquility Base, where humans first set foot on the lunar surface, and about 100 other fascinating places. And think if 50 years or 100 years from now, someone turned back to look at the lunar surface and said, how did we let that happen? How did we let them destroy Tranquility Base, the first traces of humans on another world? So this is kind of what this is really all about.
Mention that famous footprint. What are some of the other artifacts that are on the moon that require this kind of protection?
Well, we have stuff that comes from a range of different nations. So there's a site where a Japanese satellite crashed out of orbit onto the surface. There's Luna 2, which was the first spacecraft ever to touch the moon in 1959. It's got probes, rockets, little medallions, silver medallions scattered over the lunar surface. So we want to be able to preserve some of this for future generations.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10 is a flower so stinky you gotta smell it to believe it. Large crowds of curious scent seekers queued up for hours at the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens to get a sniff of the rare plant known as the corpse flower. Visitors said the flower smelled like everything from funky cheese to sweat to smelly socks. That funk actually serves a purpose in nature, attracting insects that pollinate the plant, but only for a super short time. It takes about 7 to 10 years to bloom for only around 24 to 36 hours at a time. It's so rare, there are only about 1,000 of them left in the wild. So what say you? Would you want to give this rare plant a good sniff, or would you take a pass? I'll pass. All right, everyone. I'll give a special shout out today to all the Knights in Greenville, South Carolina, Northwood Middle School. Rise up. Hope you all have a fantastic day. I am pumped to see all of your submissions for hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at CoyWire on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. Put your unique vocabulary word and definition in the comments section of my most recent post, and we're going to choose a winner that we have to work into tomorrow's show, along with a shout out. Bring it. Smell you later, y'all. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.